Okay, we'll have a little review of what the messages were. Pastor Andrew talked about the ascension. Did Jesus needed to go, ascend to go to heaven, so that the Holy Spirit will come. He said, "I'll send the Helper, the Comforter." So that, because Jesus, even when he was already resurrected, he was already in his glorified body, still limited by one body. He cannot be in anywhere. He is all-knowing. He is omnipotent, but he is not omniscient. He's not all over the place. He's just there. So he has to go so that the Holy Spirit will come. And the second reason is because, first, there are two kinds of holiness in heaven. The holiness of the angels, which is a sinless perfection, and the holiness of God, which is by his nature. So with man, because the Bible says we all men have sinned and come short of the glory, so there's no way we can get there. We have sinned. And the holiness of God is the only way we can get there. We need that. And so to do that, somebody has to come. And that's the Holy Spirit. So that anyone will receive Jesus, the one who died, who paid for our sins, who suffered 3 days in hell, because that's the ultimate destination of man. He was there for us. So that the penalty of sin, which is death, eternal death, and the eternal death will be paid, and he paid that. What the law wants when you sin, you have to be penalized for that. He paid that on the cross. He was condemned to be as a blasphemer. That's the only way they can hang him there, because even Pilate said, I see nothing bad, nothing wrong with this man. But because it was blasphemy, because he said, I and the Father are one, and so he was there. But that's not for him. The Bible says he knew no sin. 1 Corinthians 5:21, to him who knew no sin, he was made sin for us. So that when he was there, in hell, he rose. Something he did there. He took the keys of the kingdoms of both heaven and earth. He said, "All authority has been given to me." To his disciples, he said to his disciples, "Now go." So that was what happened. But now he has to go there so that the Holy Spirit will come. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. So now anyone who received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who received him in their hearts, becomes a child of God, and God is holy. Okay? So the only way you can be a child of God is you must be as holy as God. It's not because you are holy because of what you do, who you are now, but because of the righteousness of God that dwells in you. That's why Paul calls the Corinthians, even they were carnal, saints. And that reason is because the Spirit of God dwells in them. Anywhere the presence of God dwells, that place becomes holy, like the burning bush. That's a review. I want you to remember this, that when he went there, the voice of God said, "Take off your sandal, for this place is holy." The reason it is holy, because the presence of God was there. So with the Holy of Holies in the temple, so with the Ark of the Covenant, the reasons why these places are holy, because the presence of God is there. And the reason a man who receives Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes his dwelling in him, that's why that person becomes holy. Is he really holy with the way he does things? No. I do a lot of crazy things sometimes in my mind, in my thought. No. I can never be holy by myself. That's why that Ephesians 2:8 says that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, something that we don't deserve. He did it for us. And once you receive his son, that's it. You become holy." But Paul said, don't flirt with sin. Because we lose the power of our testimony if you do that. We read that in Revelation. The only way is to live. We try to be according to the holiness that is within and comes out with our character, with our attitude. That's the only way to become powerful, with our testimony. Once you lose that, you're just like a Christian without power in your life, because no one believes you in you anymore because you didn't take care of your testimony. Now, so it all boils down to having trust in God, having that faith within you. Okay, once you have that, don't worry. Just trust God. Once you lose that, I don't know. Hopefully you will not lose that trust. Okay? The next one I preached last Sunday was waiting for the promise. Jesus said, "You wait, and I will send the helper." And so they waited 10 days. On the 40th day after his resurrection, he was caught up on the clouds. He went up to heaven. But after 10 days, the disciples were waiting, 120 of them, in that room. And then came, after 10 days, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I preached about that. And they waited for two things. They were in one accord praying and having their supplications unto God. So they didn't know nothing. They didn't do. They did something while waiting. And they gave illustrations how things with Louisa, with mine, that we waited, but we serve the church. We serve God, even when all those promises are not arriving, and then later on, it arrived. So it's not waiting that you have to sit there and keep waiting. It's not. I work well. She works well. She served the church. I served the church. And so with the disciples, they were there praying in supplication. They were not just waiting there for nothing, doing nothing. So there is a timing of God that we have to wait. Okay? Now, let's go to my third one. Now, we've been singing about the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know if Ezra knows, Hannah knows. By the way, the worship leader is my daughter. She is as beautiful as her mom. And I don't know why she was singing about the Holy Spirit. Maybe she knows the message. Okay, and the title is Spirit-Filled Believers. Okay, let's read our text, our first verse. Matthew 3:11. Ready? Begin. I indeed baptize you with water. John the Baptist is speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, Jesus, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord, bless your word today, oh God. Let this word be real in our lives, that we could hang on and hold on to it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did that happen? Yes. We read that last week. So what happens if a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit? And we will study a little bit some of those things that happens. In verse 3, in Acts 2, we will read it first. Ready? Begin. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared them divided tongues of fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the first thing that we see that happened was there was a tongues of fire that each one of them had. I'm just thinking, you know those, if you go to Catholic Church, there is a round halo, what do they call that? Maybe that's where they got it. That thing. They got it from. But it was fire, okay? It was fire. It was set upon each one of them. All of them has that. The one who saw was the one who wrote it, or told, maybe heard the story, but if he was not there, was Luke. He was the writer of Acts, okay? Dr. Luke. So what do you think when that happens, that there is a fire up there at the bottom of the head? Because it says there, where is that? Divided tongue, one set it's upon each of them. What does that mean? Is it here or what? Or just up them? Yeah. So probably somebody saw it and then told Luke about it and told the story, and he wrote it there. We don't know, but that's the fact that happened. I remember Augie. You remember Augie? We had this retreat. Where was that? At the Catholic here at Royal Road. Royal. Remember that? And Pastor Andrew, I think, was there, and we had that topic about baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was nothing with me. I didn't feel anything. But him, when we were there, he told the story that he felt this warmth from his head down to his feet. And it was joy. He was just full of joy. Augie, he'll be coming. He'll be arriving there soon, coming from Australia. And he was joyful, and he was so encouraged. And I remember that experience too when I was a young Christian. That's the same feeling that I felt from the head down. The only thing is, I didn't speak in tongue. Him, he didn't speak in tongue too. So, it's an experience. The thing is, when we make a rule that if for you to be filled with the Spirit, you speak in tongues, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Because it happened with us. Although later on, because I wanted to speak in tongues, three mornings we have waited for that. If that is true, Lord, I want to speak in tongues. First morning, nothing happened. I was worshiping, I was singing, nothing. Second morning, nothing. On the third morning, that same feeling of that warmth came down, and then that started it. And I was so glad, I was so happy. It's real. It's real. So in verse 31, what happened to those that were filled? This is what really is same experience of all that were filled by the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. And when they had prayed, the place that were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness is the word. Speaking the word of God with boldness. Okay, that's really is the main reason why the Holy Spirit come. Although Paul had reiterated, had written about the desire to have them, because it strengthens the believer when you have those gifts. Okay, so with that boldness, speaking the word of God. Remember, at that time they were persecuted. It's not like with our situation now. We are not being persecuted the way they were persecuted. One thing that happens with them, once you are in a gathering like this, and a Pharisee or a church leader come, and soldiers or whatever, you are being arrested, half of your property will be given to the one like Paul, Saul, and the half will go to the government. That's why later on they sold all their property and they stayed together, because there's no way they can continue being Christian and not lose their properties. That's what they sold, and they just stayed together. But they were blessed after that. That's the reason why. So I'm not telling you guys to sell your property unless you stay together. That's not the background of that. Is as they were being persecuted, that's why they did that. So boldness is the main the general result of being filled with the Spirit. Let's look at Peter. He's a fisherman. Acts 4:8. Peter is a fisherman. In the eyes of the Pharisees, in the eyes of the church leaders, he's nothing. He only knows the tradition. Because if you are a Jew, it is a hobby. It is a tradition that the parents will tell the stories about the Old Testament to their children. So I know Paul learned that. But he is not a Pharisee. He is not a church leader. He is a fisherman. And this man, what happened after he got baptized with the Holy Spirit? Or he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. And when they had the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? The miracles that Peter performed. 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for good deed we have done, and a helpless man, by what means he has been made well. Bold to talk to the church leaders. Remember, you go against the tradition, the religious practice, the Judaism at that time. You are going against the leadership. It's like going against the government, the Jew government, the Pax Romana, against the allowed government at that time. So he was bold. Yes, he was bold. And in fact, he preached more than that. We just didn't have the time to read it. So another one is Paul. Let's look at Paul in Acts 9. This is Paul after he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, Paul said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you came, has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. He arose and was baptized. That was after he was at Damascus Road. He saw a light, and that caused his blindness. And it was Jesus talking to him, and Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And that's when he first said, Lord. But before that happened, he heard first the message of Stephen, because he was there on the previous chapters, if we read that, he was there. He gave the thumbs up for the stoning of Stephen. So he heard the message of Stephen before that happened. So that when he heard Jesus talking to him already with that voice, he know it's Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? Jesus was talking about the church that he is persecuting, because the church is his body. And after that, the Lord took to Ananias. At first, Ananias was afraid because he knows Saul. He is against the church. But he still obeyed. He went to Saul, probably trembling. What might happen if you go there? But because it was the Holy Spirit talking to him, so he went. And what happened with Saul was amazing. He prayed for him. He lay hands on him. One of the ways where churches do in that to be filled with the Spirit is laying hands on people. I don't do that, okay? Unless you desire it. Because the Holy Spirit will come, the filling will come if you really desire it. You don't desire it now. You better not ask for laying of hands on you, because it will not. Okay, and so Another thing that happened, the ice, which was already covered by scale, I don't know what kind of scale is that. Fell off, or how did it happen? And he received his sight at once. So that's what happens with us when we are filled with the Spirit. Our eyes are opened with whatever we don't see as Christians. Opens our eyes. That you realize, hey, usually it's the grace of God, how worthy you are because of God's doings in your life. You see all of the love of God on you, the love of God on whatever he will speak. And you see how good he is and how blessed you are having God. And then in Acts 13, verse 8, this is what he had done. Later on, he was the enemy of the church, but later on it turned around. Let's read. Ready? Begin. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, which stood against them seeking to turn the protocol away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, the name is changed already to Paul, from Saul to Paul, which means humble or small, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently to him. Looked intently to Elymas. 10, and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, she is perverting the straight way of the Lord. Face him. Before, Elymas was his company. He belongs to one group persecuting the church. Now he is against those that persecute the church, those that bring all these Christians into deny their faith. That's what happens when you are filled with the Spirit, the boldness to face anything. That's why somebody was asking those that believe that and in tribulation, that because there are two views in tribulation, the post, the mid, and the rapture. Those that are being raptured, the pre-tribulation, is you don't have to go through tribulation. You're just being caught up. And all of those have the basis. And the mid-tribulation, for 3.5 years, you will suffer tribulation for a while, and then you've been caught up. And the post-tribulation is all the 7 years you will go through tribulation. But one thing is sure, whatever that is, to them that, whatever happens with that, whatever is true that will come to pass with that, all of us, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will never give up your faith. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of them had been sown into two, but they didn't give up their faith. We also know the stories of Christians in the 18th century and even the beginning of the 19th, where they were persecuted, but they didn't give up their faith because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there is something that I want you to see when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 50 to 52. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. They were expelled. They were sent out from the region. Okay? And that's probably one of the things that Paul said, that I was beaten up, something like that. They were not just expelled and thrown away. Probably they were beaten up. Verse 51, ready, begin. But they shook off the dust on their feet against them and came to Iconium. So they left, leaving them. That's it. Okay. And 52, ready, begin. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Imagine, in the midst of tribulation, they will feel the joy, and they will feel with the Holy Spirit. That's only God can do. Only God can do that to a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with joy even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of... I remember Tony, when he was when we usually visit him into the hospital, he can't move. He was so thin. He there is a tube because he cannot eat because the muscles are not really working well. But you know what? When you go to him there, you don't feel anything. Like there's something that he seemed to, instead of you encouraging him on his bed, you are the one being encouraged by him. The assurance of how good he is, how good God is. And even the nurses that would go there, he don't stop encouraging them the goodness of God. Why can he do that? And we see him with the tube. He comes in later on here with the tube and sit there and worship God and listen. Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the evidence of your being filled is the joy in the midst of trouble. You just come. I was watching this should I tell the story now? I'm going ahead of myself. I will tell it anyway. Anyone watch the ultimate concert? The main feature there is Marcelito Pomoy. Who knows Marcelito Pomoy? He was the finalist of the America's Got Talent. Who can do the voice of Celine Dion and Pavarotti with a high with Celine Dion? He's like Celine Dion when he sings it, and then because there is a chorus, there is a duet between Pavarotti and then he sings the voice. And if you don't look at him on the TV, it's like Pavarotti and Celine Dion singing. He was a grand winner in the Philippines with voices, different voices of women and men. So he was at the America's Got Talent, and he won in the finals. He didn't win the grand final because it's the Indian acrobatic dancers, kids, that won it. But he was in the finals. So he had this concert in America. Place was filled with people. There are four performers there. Him, one who is violinist, well known, and the one is a tenor, a female singer, who sings with Pavarotti too, and the other one, this big, huge, macho man, who are winners too in dancing, acrobatic dancing. And it was good. And then came this on the later part of the show. They showed his past, how he was brought up by very, very poor family. His dad was accused of arson, that he was taken to prison. But because the mom, I think, went somewhere, he is not around, so he has to stay with him, with his dad in prison. And he was fed by, with the food that his dad was being given, it's not enough. So the other prisoners would add for his food until one day a cop decided to take him to his home. So he went there. So he stayed there for a while, but when he was 8 years old, he was molested. And so he decided to leave and stayed on the streets. And different kinds of whatever, just for him to survive. Until when I was growing up already, he had worked in a piggery where hogs, where pigs are being raised. So he worked there. That's when he discovered that he has a voice of a woman and a voice of a man, low voice. So he can sing both high notes and low. So that's when he discovered And then before that, after that, he sang, "He raised me up." So I was there, just. But when he was already telling the story, a lot of thoughts came into my mind, how I was also brought up from the poverty, from sometimes three times a day, you only can eat twice, but it's rice with just salt and a lot of water. And you can only eat twice because there's nothing. That's the food you can take. And all those hardships, when growing up, being, came to what he wanted when he was singing. And then later on, that feeling of joy in my heart on how God had brought me to this stage from that very hard life to this state where you're not only handsome. No, I'm just kidding. And I was weeping. I know the Holy Spirit filled my heart with joy at that time. That was last Tuesday. And so after that, after the weeping, thanking God, full of thanksgiving, full of gratitude to God for what he had done, having my family, all serving God and loving God, I told Louisa, "Watch this." I thought she would also be touched. But because he was doing something, he didn't really care. But I insisted, "You watch it." And she watched it, and nothing happened. Do you know why? Because she is not interested. That's what many Christians really, what's happening? Because you don't desire it. That's why you don't. And so the Lord touched me in that. Nothing with her. Who benefited the best, the most? Me. He raised me up. Watch that and you'll love it. The title of that on YouTube, The Ultimate Concert. So in Ephesians chapter 5, let's read that. There's another thing that will happen when you are filled with the Spirit. Verse 17, ready, begin. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your hearts." If you are filled with the Spirit, you love to worship. You love to listen to Christian music. You just love it. And you love to sing with with the brethren. Psalms and hymns in spiritual songs. Nothing wrong drinking wine as long as you're not drunk. Okay, please, don't get me wrong. what it says is being drunk, okay? So we are in New Zealand and wine is all over the place, but don't be drunk, please. Just do it in your dinner. So when you are filled with the Spirit, one evidence any situation you are in, you always can worship, whatever situation you are in. Let's look at Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Before we read this, I'll just give you the background. There was this woman who was a fortune teller, and they were being bothered by this woman with Silas. And so what did he do? He decided to cast out the demon on that woman. And they didn't realize that that woman were being used by those, what do you call? Tagahawak sa kanila. Somebody was gaining, that they have handlers that they get business out of it by this fortune teller. So when that spirit went out of him, so they made it a case against Paul and Silas, and so they were charged. Verse 24, they begin, "Having received such charge, He put them into inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they were put into prison for doing God's will. Imagine that. And verse 25, ready begin. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. See, that's one evidence when you feed. In hard situations, you can still sing. You can still sing. You can't restrain yourself from worshiping God. Doesn't matter what it is. Not because of the situation, but because you trust God and you love God. I personally believe that being filled with the Holy Spirit is an everyday desire in our heart. It should be like that. The desire to always say, Lord, fill me today. Fill me today. And when he fills you, it's not that feeling of warm. It's not. The feeling of wisdom gives you wisdom. It gives you the joy. It gives you the worship, the desire to give thanks to him. And you just feel it deep within and bubbles out with joy in your heart. There are different evidences we see to those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. One, they spoke with tongues. That's a controversy in the church, because especially the Pentecostals, one of the evidence that you're filled, according to them, is you speak in tongues. I didn't when I got filled with the Spirit. I didn't speak in tongues. Later on, because I desired it, so God gave it. But then when I was filled, it's not. The evidence is the joy. That warm, that reality that God is real through the Holy Spirit's infilling. Verse number two, Paul didn't speak in tongues when he got filled with the Spirit. It didn't say that. But later on, we know he spoke in tongues because he taught about the spiritual gifts later on. Okay? So speaking in tongues is just one of the evidence, not the main one. The main one is you become bold. The one that you love worship. And the third is, what's the third? There are three points. The joy in the midst of whatever situation you are in. Or three for the cell group. Yeah. The evidence common to everyone that got filled with the Holy Spirit is boldness, the joy, and the worship. It doesn't matter what the situation is. And so, if you ask me, I desire to be filled with the Spirit all the time. Let's look. What if you are asking to be filled and then a different Spirit came? Let's read it. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Let's read that so that you will not be afraid asking God about, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Ready? Begin. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if asked for a fish, will he give him serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more to your heavenly Father to give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You ask your Father, will he give you a snake? Will he give you the spirit of the evil one? I don't believe so. Jesus said, you have not because you didn't ask. You ask not. It is the desire in our hearts. When we desire, me and Louisa, Lord, we want to speak in tongues. So 3 mornings we waited for that. We worshiped until it came. Now it's just a normal thing. We don't do it in church because we only do it for ourselves. As we are praying, I don't even let Louisa hear mine, I do it on the bus. I just love it, doing it. And I do that when I pray. But it all starts with a desire. With a desire. So, the conclusion is, you ask not, that's why you have not. You want it? Wait for it. Set a date with God, with the Holy Spirit, and ask Him, Lord, fill me. And if you have been filled already, just be sensitive of how He does it. Because anytime, as long as you are conscious about the presence of God in you, it can come anytime, even as you are working. Can come. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came for everyone. We just bless you, Father, for your love towards us. Let our love grow, O God. Holy Spirit, we know it's only you who could accomplish that in our hearts, in us, as we acknowledge who we are, that we are nothing without you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your comfort. You are being a help to us. In whatever situation we are in, you are there. You are there. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you put the desire in our hearts to yearn some more on you, that we will grow in the knowledge of what the Father wants us to know about Him and to experience, Lord, with you. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.